This day and this opportunity to be in the house of God. I know we have several brothers and sisters here from Tennessee today, and I spent the entire week in Tennessee, and the pollen in Tennessee has just almost destroyed my allergies. And so what I'm going to say is I'm glad you live in Tennessee and not me. But I still would rather live in Tennessee and Alabama. Oh, Heath Williams is sitting there. Yeah, until I met Brother Heath, I thought the only good thing to come out of Alabama was I-20. We trust that everyone in the congregation has prayed for this meeting. I've certainly enjoyed what's gone before. We love Brother Heath and what we've heard, and Brother Tommy is just a precious brother and a good friend to me. He's a good friend of my daddy's, and Brother Tommy, I trust that the Lord always bless us to behave ourselves, that you could always consider me your friend.
Thank you.
Brother Tommy's a sound man. He stood for the truth for many years, and I believe the way Brother Tommy believes it. This morning, our mind has been drawn to a portion of Scripture that's recorded by three gospel writers. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, and John chapter 12. Brother Heath has made reference in Luke chapter 7 to a woman that was a sinner that came off the streets to one Simon the Pharisee's house. Now, I do believe this to be a separate event. In Luke chapter 7, this event took place very early in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. But according to John chapter 12, it was 6 days before the Passover. that the Lord Jesus Christ came to Bethany. In Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14, it was 2 days before the Passover that he was in a particular house eating with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it was there in Simon the leper's house. And when Jesus was there eating, it was Mary. Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. It's the same Mary in Luke chapter 10 that sat at his feet learning. It's the same Mary that's in John chapter 11 that was at his feet mourning. And here in Mark chapter 14, John chapter 12, and Matthew chapter 26, she comes in and begins to worship. She came in with an alabaster box. And within that alabaster box was ointment, and the price was of 300 pence. And she began to anoint the head and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she began to do that, the indignation, which actually started with Judas Iscariot, was stirred with the disciples, and one spoke up and said, "Why was not this sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" In Mark chapter 14 and verse 6, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he does often in his ministry, and thanks be to God, he does as our high priest in heaven, he stood up in the defense of a poor little child of God. And he said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her?" That's precious to me. That our Lord Jesus Christ would take time to stand up in defense of this poor little child of God. "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her?"
Amen.
And when Jesus Christ says that, I'm sure the disciples in their mind thought, well, it makes sense for this to be sold and given to the poor. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why trouble ye her?" And then Jesus Christ said this. He said, "The poor you have with you always. And whensoever you will, you can do good for them." He said, "But me you have not with you always." She hath done what she could. She hath come aforetime to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, what she hath done shall be spoken of as a memorial of her. If we could this morning, I'd like for us to consider this woman, Mary, and she doing what she could. Secondly, I'd like for us to consider she done what she could with what she had.
Yeah.
Thirdly, let's consider she did what she could with what she had when she could.
Yeah.
And fourthly, let's consider this being a memorial of her. First of all, let's consider this. She done what she could. That's a precious thought.
Yeah.
You know, because in the house of God, we often look at each other and say, you have a higher position than me in the church of God. You know, not everyone in the house of God can stand before the family and lead singing. I can. I remember there was a time years ago that I used to try to lead singing and try to preach too. And I finally got to a place I realized I could do really neither. And I was very thankful when the Lord blessed us at Mount Perrin to have good song leaders. But I was happy to do what I could. And you may look around this morning and you see these ministers of the gospel. And you may say, "I'm not called to preach. They have a higher place of service than I do." You know, I've asked people this many times. If you can find me somewhere in the Bible that tells me that I have a greater obligation to be at the house of God, to serve God, than you do on the pew, I'll stop preaching. She done what she could.
Amen.
Even when we know we're not preaching, even when we know we're not leading singing, we should do what we could to the praise and glory of our Lord and Master, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 25, we find a man named Moses. And this man named Moses, because of his sin of haughtiness, it's been revealed to him he shall not go into the land of Canaan. He's not going to enter in. So what does Moses do? He just throws up his hands and says, "Well, let the bats and the mice and the house have it. It doesn't matter anyway. Y'all figure it out for yourself." No. Moses wrote 34 chapters of the book of Deuteronomy instructing the children of Israel and instructing Joshua, who he realized would be their leader when he was dead and gone. He took all that time, even knowing that he would not go into the land of Canaan, to instruct the children of God. He done what he could to help. I found a man named David that was blessed of the Lord to be a king of Israel. And this man named David that was blessed of the Lord to be a king of Israel, it was told unto him, he knew he was not going to build the house of God. It would be his son Solomon that built the temple. What did David do? Just forget it? I'm not worried about it. No, he did all he could to gather materials that his son would have an easier time. You know, we should all be willing to do what we can. I believe it's the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy that was in prison. He considered Timothy, who was more than likely the pastor of the church at Ephesus at that time, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, "For this cause I left thee in Ephesus." Paul, even in prison, did what he could to encourage that disciple, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman here, she does what she can.
Amen.
Now, I'm not advocating this morning for women to start getting up in the church house.
No.
I don't believe in women preachers.
No.
But I tell you, there's women in this house that can preach some sermons. You can preach a sermon to your kids at home. You can preach a sermon by your example in the house of God. You can preach a sermon by living a humble life here in this world in your service to the Lord, and do what you can. I had a woman one time come up to me. She told me this. She said, "I'm a preacher, and I love to preach." I said, "You know, that sounds pretty good." I said, "And I might agree with it. Hadn't already read the Bible." It's funny. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "I will not suffer a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence." There's a man came up to me one time, Brother Wayne. He said, "We don't have women preachers at our church, but we got women Sunday school teachers." I said, "Notice Paul didn't say, 'I will not suffer a woman to preach.'" He said, "I will not suffer a woman to teach, to usurp authority over a man." Oh, what foundation could you say this, Paul? Adam was first born, then Eve. Woman was not made to be a spiritual leader in a house. Now, there's cases where a woman has to be a spiritual leader in the house because of failing men. When you've got a failing man in a house, a woman has to be a spiritual leader, but woman was made to be a helpmeet unto the man. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. On this second principle, if there's ever a woman that could have been, surely it was Eve. Right? Eve didn't have sin. Eve was upright. If there's ever a woman, Brother Frank, that could have been a spiritual leader, it was Eve. You know what? She flopped. So upon those two principles, the Apostle Paul said, "I will not suffer a woman to teach." But women, every woman in this house has a wonderful opportunity and obligation to serve God. She hath done what she could. You know what I say about our service to the Lord? Whatever the church needs me to be, that's what I need to be. If the house of God needs me to hold the door, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. If the house of God needs me to sweep the floors, let me be the best floor sweeper I can be. If the house of God needs me to clean the bathrooms, let me be the best bathroom cleaner I can be. Let me be what the house of God needs me to be, that the kingdom of God can grow to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what usually causes trouble in the house of God? When we try to be something we ain't. I just quoted my daddy, Brother Tommy. That's the way he'd say it. When we're trying to be something we ain't. You know, the house of God gets tore up when you got men that's not called to preach, just trying to preach. That's happened a few times in Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, I think this happened a few times too. We got some they ordained that wouldn't call to preach. I guess they ordained them just in case God would call them one day. Someone asked me once, "How do you know a man's called to preach?" Here's the evidence. He'll preach.
That's right.
That's right. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, concerning Samuel being a prophet, you notice three things. It was Eli that recognized Samuel's calling. The other ministers noticed it, Brother Wayne. Two, and the Bible said it, Israel. All Israel noticed. And then the Bible said he grew. I want to hear a man preach as a minister of the gospel. I want the congregation to hear him preach the gospel. And I want to see him grow in the ministry. That's what I want to see. And that's evidence to me the man is called to preach. And if you are called to preach, let us lay aside all the things we have in this world and let us give our lives to the ministry and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. If the church needs you to be a deacon, Brother Sam, let us be the best deacon we can be and let us do all we can for the house of God. If you're able to lead singing, be willing to do what you can. If you're a sister in the church, let us be the best sister we can be. Let us be what the house of God needs us to be. Let us do what we can. And this woman, when she came out the street, she did what she could with what she had. She came in. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. She had this alabaster box. This alabaster box was a stone that was carved out into a box. And within that, the ointment was there, spikenard. Very costly.
Yeah.
300 pence. And she took what she had. She anointed Jesus' head, his feet. John chapter 12 says that she wiped his feet with her hair.
Yeah.
She done what she could with what she had. Have you ever noticed in Scripture, often the material things you see give evidence of that you cannot see? You ever notice that? Let me word this a different way. The actions that you see in people will often be the tale of how spiritual they are on the inside. How about that? You know the Lord Jesus Christ, that was true of Him. You know the Lord Jesus Christ, like in Mark chapter 2, when He healed that one sick of the palsy? You notice what He said to that man before He healed him? He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And they begin to murmur and complain, "Who is able to forgive sins but God?" And Jesus said, "Whether it is easier for the Son of Man to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or say to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk,' but that thou mayest know," notice, "know, gaining knowledge, that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, I say to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk,'" and he was healed at that instant. You know what Jesus did? Jesus, by that miracle that they could see, manifest what He could do that they could not see. And my life and the activity of my life and the things that I am willing to do for the kingdom of God and the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, it manifests to the world how I feel about the Lord and His kingdom on the inside. It gives evidence. Brother Tommy said it works out my salvation that others could see. And this woman that came with this alabaster box, the Bible said she broke it. I believe the breaking of this alabaster box manifests something about her spiritually and her broken heart. This woman had a broken heart. Mary had a broken heart over the Lord Jesus Christ. Because she understood that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, she believed in Him. She knew who He was. She believed in who He was. She had saw Him raise Lazarus from the dead. And she knew she was a sinner. And her heart was broke because at this particular time on the 10th day of this month, people begin to set their Passover lamb aside. And they'd set it until that 14th evening of the day, and that Passover lamb would be killed. She understood that Jesus Christ is her Passover.
Yeah.
And her heart was broke because of that. See, when I think about my Lord Jesus Christ, Him bearing my sins on the cross of Calvary, Brother Tommy, it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Have you ever wept for Jesus? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 said, "We look on Him whom we appear, and we shall weep for Him as one would weep for their only begotten Son." See, I weep for Jesus. My heart is broke for it. Because He suffered all that He suffered and died on that cruel cross for my sins. By sins, and her heart was broke. Just like the box was broke, her heart was broke. Why? Because Jesus saved her from the penalty of hell on that cross. See, my sin, which is great, is never going to be swept under a rug. My sin will bring me into hell, and I'll burn forever and ever until that day that hell will be taken up and cast into a lake of fire. See, hell's not going to stop. One day be cast into a lake of fire. That's what we all deserve. Brother Heath, I deserve hell. My God is a just God. My God don't sweep sins under a rug and just forget about it. Man lives forever. Man's not going to die and just end up in a grave. My God is a just God. My Lord Jesus Christ on that cross of Calvary, He saved me from more than just a grave out here in the yard. My daddy, a couple years ago, I laid His body in the grave. But I believe my Lord Jesus Christ saved me from more than just the grave. He saved me from everlasting burning hell. And my heart is broken. because he suffered that hell for me on that cross. Then she took the ointment and she began to pour it forth, which teaches me much about her life. She was willing to pour out her life in this service to the Lord. If you ever talk to anybody that was willing, that had the willing heart, willingness just to pour out their life in the service of the Lord. Are we willing to do that this morning? We should be, because he poured out his life for us. You know, there in Luke chapter 7, that woman that came off the streets, that was a sinner, she came there and laid at the feet of Jesus. And Simon the Pharisee's house. Someone may say, why would she want to walk in and just embarrass herself in front of this crowd? Jesus made a difference in her life. Jesus made a difference in her life. Has Jesus made a difference in your life? Jesus has made a difference in my life. He's brought me up from the dunghill. He's lifted me up from a harbor pit. He brought me up from the ignorance of this world. He set me on a rock. He set me on the hill where I can see his light. He's brought me here to the New Testament church, and I believe with every cell of my being it's the Primitive Baptist Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus made a difference in my life, Brother Wayne. And this woman, Jesus made a difference in her life. She's willing to pour it out. And on that day, she anointed him, which gives declaration of her love for him and what he is to her. Have you ever put much thought to the three anointings of David? Over in 1 Samuel chapter 15, it was Samuel that came and anointed David. Our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed by the law and the prophets. It's him. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 4, it was Judah that came and anointed David. And there was a portion of Israel, and I believe the portion is right now. We're anointing the Lord Jesus Christ as our King. But hallelujah, there's a day coming, 2 Samuel chapter 5, when all Israel will anoint him their King and say, he is bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. And when Saul was king over us, it was you that led us out and brought us in Israel. God has commanded you to feed us. And it's my Lord Jesus Christ. One day we'll be anointed by all of Israel. But until that day, let me be found anointing him with my life, pouring out all that I've got to his praise and glory. Amen. I've had people say, you get excited about this, don't you, Brother Ronnie? Not as excited as I should be. I was down at the Upper Canoes Association, Brother Tom and Brother Jack Anderson. He said, I don't hardly get as excited as Brother Ronnie. I said, Brother Jack, when I'm 97 years old, I'm probably going to get this excited either. I might fly apart. But as long as I got the energy, I'm going to pour it out.
Yes, sir.
The Bible teaches us that she wiped his feet with her hair. You ever notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 15? You know, concerning the man, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But the Bible says that the hair was given to a woman for a covering, and it's her glory. It's her glory. And this woman took the glory of her head, and she wiped the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that precious? All that I have that I could boast in, let me be found thwarted at his feet. And praise to him. You know why? Because all my works are nothing. They're nothing but filthy rags in his sight. And let me be found preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving praise to him, that the children of God would not be directed toward man, but be directed toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The children of God should see clearly that it's Jesus that saved them and not any mortal man. There in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is in the city of Bethsaida, and this man there is blind, and Jesus took him outside the city. I had a person ask me once, why did he take him outside the city? Simple, he wanted to. That's a simple answer. He wanted to. He took him outside the city. You know what he did? He spit on him. Spit right in his eyes. Someone says, wow, what a wonderful greeting. Spit right in his eyes. You know what I learned right there? His spit is worth more than all the physicians of this world. And he asked that man when he touched him if he saw all. You know what he said? He said, I see men as trees walking. I'm sorry to say that's what most religious people, the state that they're in, they see men as trees walking. The Lord Jesus Christ touched him again. The Bible said he saw every man clearly. And my hope is that people could see every man clearly. That they would not be giving their glory to man, not be giving glory to themselves, but be giving glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the Lamb that was slain to give His life for ungodly sinners like you and I. This woman who did what she could with what she had, she did it when she could. Notice Jesus said, yeah, the poor will you always. And whensoever you will, you can do them good. But me you have not always. Now, is Jesus saying it's wrong to do for the poor? It's not what Jesus said. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to do for the poor. You know, over in Matthew chapter 8, verse 22, this man came to Jesus, and Jesus told him to take up his cross and follow him. He said, suffer me to bury my father first. Jesus told him, "Say, you take up your cross and follow me. You let the dead bury their dead." Is Jesus telling him it's wrong for him to bury his father? No. Abraham had respect for the dead. Isaac had respect for the dead. Jacob had respect for the dead. Joseph had respect for the dead. All Israel had respect for the dead. Jesus is not saying it's wrong to bury your father. But Jesus said there's some things more important than others. When Jesus makes that statement there in Mark chapter 14 and verse 7, He's saying, look, you got the poor, you can do for them anytime. This is a particular time of service. See, Mary had learned that. Remember over in Luke chapter 10, when Martha was coming about much serving, and she told Jesus, carest thou not that my sister has left me to serve alone? Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things. He said, but this one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part that cannot be taken away from her. Now, did Jesus tell her it's wrong for her to serve? No, He didn't. But He said, Mary has chosen something of priority. Why? Because He was in His ministry 3.5 years. She had this opportunity to sit at His feet. And here in Mark chapter 14, Jesus is making reference to a priority. And we need to prioritize our life and get things in right order. When it comes to a funeral service, listen, you can plan a funeral service 7 days a week. Don't be planning your funeral service on Sunday morning when the house of God is meeting. How about that? There's a lot of things. You take a nursing home. I mean, I love to visit a nursing home. We do a nursing home service once a month. It's not wrong to go to a nursing home. Go to a nursing home all you want, but don't do it when the house of God is meeting. I might say it's good to ride a bicycle. I love to ride a bicycle. I don't like the dogs that chase me on the bicycle. And I know many of you probably are still thinking, Brother Ronnie, how's your leg after that dog bit you? I've been asked that question all over America. And my leg's doing fine. And I want to tell you, I prayed for that dog. I pray his teeth will get broke with gravel. I hate that dog. If you got a dog, I probably like your dog, but I hate that dog. Did I say I hated that dog? It's not wrong to ride a bicycle, but it's wrong to ride a bicycle when the house of God is meeting. We got to prioritize our... Lord Jesus Christ has told us to put His kingdom first. Let's not live our lives just giving Him the crumbs of the table. Let's give Him the best that we got. The children that are here in the house of God today, put forth your time in memorizing the Bible. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth when the evil days come not. There's a day coming when it's going to be hard for you to remember that and memorize the Bible. There's a day coming. Brother Bruce Taylor is smiling. He knows this to be true. But let me say this. As you get older, it's not that your mind is weaker. Amen. You just got more to think about. Right? I mean, back when I was 17, I didn't have to worry about paying my insurance bills, paying my tax bills, stuff like that. You know, worried about the kids took their medicine this morning. I didn't worry about that, Brother Tommy. But now, see, I got to worry about all that. So here I am trying to read the Bible, memorize the Bible, and I'm thinking, well, I didn't get the kids' medicine. I got to get Sarah a bath. You know, I got to do this for Josh for his homework. But when you're young, see, remember now thy Creator, the days of thy youth. Give your best mind to the Lord. You know, that's why I like to read the Bible early in the morning. Seek the Lord early while He may be found. Yeah. And as a minister of the gospel, that's why I want to give my youngest years. I want to give it to the Lord. And there was somebody told me the other day, they said, you know, Brother Ronnie, you're going to wear your voice out trying to preach. If I wear it out, I want to wear it out preaching Jesus Christ. How about that? She done what she could with what she had when she could do it. This was an opportunity for her. It was an open door for her. It was a chance for her to tell the world, this is my lamb. This is my Passover lamb. You know, so many times in my life, I look back at the open doors I missed. I've had times I could have communicated with people the truth, but I didn't. I've had times in my life I communicated the truth and told them about the church, but I probably did something to turn them away from the church. You may not realize this, but every day you live, you're a representative of the New Testament church if you're a member here today. And the way you live is the way people are going to think on the church. You know, when we had the meeting this week up at Smoky Mountain, I was hoping everybody would go in every restaurant during the day, Brother Heath. And I mean, be really nice to the waitresses and the waiters and the folks that own the place, because I want them to say, hey, those Primitive Baptists, they were up here, and those are some of the best folks I've ever met. I want them to know what I know. I know you're the best folks in the world. Amen? Yeah. Good gracious, get an amen to that. Yeah. I want everybody else to know it. She done what she could with what she had when she could do it. And then Jesus said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, what she hath done, this shall be spoken of for a memorial to her. What Jesus is saying is this right here: as long as the gospel is preached, people's going to be talking about this woman and what she done. One day, if the Lord doesn't come back, we're all going to die. It's going to happen. Our hair is going to get gray. Our face is going to wrinkle up. And we're going to die. You can't use enough grease formula and make it to hide. It's going to happen. And when I die, there's going to be a Primitive Baptist preacher preaching my funeral. And I want to live in such a way that Brother Will has got something good to say about me. See, this is spoken of for this woman. You know, there's people all over the world that want to be remembered. You know, there's sports stars right now that got the names on the back of their jerseys. They want to be remembered. I don't know how many of you remember years ago when the Dallas Cowboys beat the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl. I'm going to reveal how old I am. There was a running back for Dallas. His name was Dwayne Thomas. You know, Tom Landry didn't like Dwayne Thomas. You know why? He didn't ever get excited about the game. Dwayne Thomas relied solely on talent. He was like this: hey, I don't really need practice. Just hand me the ball. Show me which way to run. Right before the Super Bowl, they came up with Dwayne Thomas. They said this: how does it feel to play in the greatest game ever played? You know what Dwayne Thomas said? He said, if it's the greatest game ever played, why are they going to play another next year? Catch it? What he's saying is, this ain't that important. You know, there's a big basketball game Monday night. And I love college, but you know, I missed it. Wasn't that big a deal. I was in the house of God. They're going to play another one next year, right? There's probably a car race going on today. And somebody's going to win a car race. You know, I've never been impressed with race car drivers. I'm not. You know why I think anybody can drive a lawnmower and drive a race car? All you got to do is stomp it to the floor and turn to the left. But it doesn't matter who wins. They're going to play another one next year. You take musicians. You know, I love to play bluegrass music. My brother's son, that's all he does for a living. You know, bluegrass. Bill Monroe is the father of bluegrass music. Let me ask you, if the Lord didn't come back in 2,000 years, how many people are really going to remember Bill Monroe? Be forgot about, right? Hey, it's been 2,000 years since that woman did that. Amen. We're still talking about her. We're still talking about John the Baptist, right? You want to be remembered? Try to be something unique. You know what's unique? It's a path that few find, and it's being a disciple, a faithful person to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's unique. You want to be unique? You want to be remembered? Serve God. I'm going to end on Revelation chapter 14 and verse 11. This is one of the seven blessed statements. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest in their labors. Yea, and the Bible said, their works do follow them. Their works are not following them up into heaven. Our works don't get us into heaven. We're in heaven by the works of one. It's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you what, my works follow me here on earth. And if God has blessed me, I want to be an example to the children of God in this world. I want to do the best I can to be the best I can. Yeah, I fail every day, but I want to be better, Brother Tim. I want to serve God better, that other people be encouraged to be a disciple of the greatest one that ever stepped on this land, and his name is Jesus Christ. May God bless you.
Amen. When peace, my God. to love.